Welcome to Take Action and Get Profits with Michelle Stizzum, where entrepreneurs come together to discuss business growth strategies, marketing ideas, techniques, and tips. Brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Michelle Stizzum.
Welcome to Take Action, Get Profits radio show. So excited to have you here with us today. It's going to be another great call, as it always is, a very exciting show. But let's do a little housekeeping first. Don't forget, we would love to hear from you. So if you are listening to us live and would like to call in, the number is 347-989-1363. We would love to hear your voice. And if you would like to hear your voice on the radio, it's a great idea. Now, if you are one of those thousands of people who listen to us after the fact, you know, and it's all good, that's great. Think about it. Maybe you want to join us next Monday at 2 p.m. Central and hear your voice on the radio. So I just want to encourage you to do that. We love to hear from our listeners. And remember, this is a show about building your business. And so if there's something in particular going on for your business, we want to hear about that. The other thing is a great way to connect with us is through Facebook. So join us at facebook.com/decisiveminds, M-I-N-D-S. So facebook.com/decisiveminds. And then also remember this great radio network. It's facebook.com/toughtalkradio. So lots of exciting things have been going on. I know I am the roving radio show host, but you could call me the raving radio show host. I'm good with that too. And I'm home today, but I'm leaving tomorrow for New York. So I will be spending the rest of this week in New York City at an event called Hell Yeah X, where I am speaking on Friday and doing some trainings prior to that. So very excited about that. And then I'll be back here just in time next week to do the radio show again. But that made me really start thinking about one of the things I did this weekend was I spent about 48 hours looking at where my clients were in their businesses, what in those particular spots where they were, what was it that got them there? So what do they have being there, right? What do they not have being there? And what do they need to do to move their business to the next level? And so, I go to a lot of events, and a lot of my clients are looking at the process of either doing events or they want to attend events. And I think that when we're looking for visibility and credibility, no matter what business we are in, events can be a very powerful marketing strategy for us. And so it may be, number one, attending events. And so I had a client I have clients all the time that ask me this, but I had a client ask me last week about a particular event and whether they should attend. And we were talking about what you want to look for in those events. Now, what we need to understand first is we really need to understand, you know, what is the outcome that you want. So by knowing the outcome for the event, then you can determine whether it's right for you or not. So if you're looking for contacts, that might be a reason to go to an event or to speak at an event, right? If you are looking for maybe sales of your product or services, obviously, if there's a right clientele in the room, an event might be the perfect place for you to be doing that. If you're practicing your speaking, there's great places for you to be for events for that. And so when I talk about events, we might be talking about as little as, you know, the luncheon that some association is having in your hometown or in a surrounding town. It might be that someone is hosting a bigger event where it's maybe a one-day or a multi-day event where people are traveling in for that particular event. That's one version of that. So it could be that it's an association meeting, right? So what I want you to look at and what I'm looking at for myself is how do I get the most out of each event? So if I'm looking to get sales out of an event, I'm looking for new customers. And let me tell you, that's, like I said earlier, it's not always the case, right? There are different reasons to be there. But let's say, for example, that I'm looking for new customers or sales out of an event, and it's an event where I'm attending as an attendee. One of the things that I do is I look for an opportunity to speak. And so that might be a sponsorship where I get a few minutes on stage in front of people. It might be a sponsorship where the person on stage is going to mention me and send people to my table. You guys all know that I am, you know, an extreme introvert and very, very shy. And so what I do is I look for ways to utilize situations to be able to get past that, right? I know myself. I know I'm not going to be walking around just talking to everybody in the room. So I need to set up situations where they are directed to talk to me. And the best things I can do there is to have someone else bring them to me or send them to me or be on stage so that after the fact they want to come and speak with me. So you want to look at those types of opportunities, right? Whenever you're choosing whether you should go to an event or not, you also want to be looking for who's the clientele in the room. Who is, you know, are they my ideal client? Are they your ideal clients? Are they, you know, in, do they really just fit the mix of what you're looking for? Are they money spenders? Now, that's an interesting question because sometimes we don't know who people are going to bring into the room. And so what you want to look for is you want to look and see if maybe they have a little skin in the game. So did they have to buy a ticket to come to this luncheon? Did they have to buy a ticket to go to an event? Did they have to travel to that event? You know, we call that having skin in the game, right? The more someone is willing to put into the game to get there, that says something to me. That says that they're looking for something and trying to get something out of their business. So that's the conversation I wanted to have with you about attending events. And, you know, I'm someone who does events a lot. Just to kind of throw in my next event, I'll be doing my one days in Houston on, Houston is August 28th and Dallas is August 11th. You can find out more about that at www.makemoremoneytour.com. Would love for you to join me if you're trying to make more money in your business. You're going to get some really great ideas out of that one day. You're also going to meet some really good entrepreneurs. The second thing I wanted to talk to you about, though, before we go back to break, is about when is the right time for you to host an event. So what could an event do for you, right? Maybe you are hosting smaller networking events or networking events of some size because you're trying to build your community. Maybe you're hosting a one-day event to bring your current clients together and teach them, you know, how to use some of the upcoming products or services that you're going to be putting out. Maybe you're hosting a one-day event to bring together those potential clients, that those people you've been speaking with or are attracting those people that you want to work with into the room for a one-day or a three-day. Can teach them something, show them, you know, what's the new gadget you've got going on or what's the new service that you've got coming up or how you know, your services are working for others, right? You can do that in a one day. Maybe you're like me and you do three-day events, right? I do a big three-day event. The next one's coming up in Houston. I do it annually, September 25, 26, and 27, if I remember off the top of my head. You can find out more about that at www.takeactiongetprofits.com, and that is a three-day event designed to help you build a leveraged business, right? Help you take your business to the next level and get it to a point where you're not having to, you know, spend 100% of your day working in your business. So the question I started this with was, when do you know if it's right for you to start doing events? And it depends on what type of event you want to do, but let's focus on those 1 days and 3 days at this moment. So how do you know when it's time for you to do a 1 day and when it's time for you to do a 3 day? The first key factor is, have you built a community, an audience? Are people starting to pay attention to you? Okay, that is a big lesson I learned. I have to tell you, I did my first three-day event. I didn't start with a one-day either, which is what I recommend for all my clients. I jumped out with a three-day event about, I did it 18 months into this business. I started promoting it probably 11 months into this business or 12 months into this business, you know, started working on it that first 6 months of the second year. And my business was growing rapidly. That's a true statement. However, that was a very hard event for me to fill because I did not really have as big a community as I thought I had. I didn't have the following that I needed to fill that, number one. Number two, I made the big mistake that most event creators, most event hosts make, And that is believing that other people would fill my room, okay? Now, what you know, you hear me say this all the time. People have great intentions, and they will say to you, oh, my God, I know 10 people who are going to come to that event in Houston, right? And I believe they mean it when they say that. However, they get back to their house, or they get back to their office, and they get sidetracked, and, you know, they ask their buddy, and their buddy's like, I don't know, maybe I'll think about going. But they don't have the commitment to that event that you have for that event. So you, as the host, have to be committed to filling every single seat. It's great if other people bring you people. That's awesome. But that is what we call lagniappe in Louisiana. That's the bonus. Okay? So I just wanted you to see that really that's what I do with my clients, is start looking at when those events are right. So I just had a client did a three-day. She's been in business for about 4 years. She did a three-day last weekend. She did $175,000 from that three-day event. I had a client do her very first one-day last month. She did $25,000 that day. I have clients that are, I have clients that are in various stages that are doing one-days. I have a client that does two-day retreats, right? So that's a different kind of event. So very exciting stuff. All right, so be thinking about whether it is something you should be adding to your arsenal. And I'm just looking at the clock and realizing we need to go to break. So when we get back, we'll talk to our first guest.
We understand your need for quality financial advice without the hefty price tag of the big institutions. That's why at Thompson Wealth Management, it's our aim to create lifelong customer relationships built on a foundation of trust and satisfaction. Our values are based on extensive experience in investment, investment planning, and an intimate knowledge of financial markets. So let us put our experience to work for you. We can help you build a comprehensive investment plan and provide you with the ongoing guidance and direction that you deserve. For more information, visit Thompson Wealth Management at www.twmtoday.com.
Are you feeling burnt out or lost on where to go or what to do next when it comes to your business? If you feel like you own a job instead of a business, or if your business is running you instead of you running it, we can help. The Thrive Business Center was created to educate and support small business owners. With a strategic approach and a proven method, we'll help you identify what is working well in your business and what is not. Then, together, we can establish an action plan with an implementation process so that your business can get back to thriving. For more information, go to ThriveBusinessCenter.com. ThriveBusinessCenter.com.
Imagine taking your business to the masses using proven marketing techniques. What if you could take what you love and turn it into a six-figure business in the next 2 years? Or a $500,000 business in the next 3 to 4 years? Michelle Sism went from struggling to build her coaching practice to doing $500,000 in her business in less than 4 years when she uncovered the secrets to converting audiences to clients. In Cash In on Your Expertise, Michelle shares the exact strategy she used to build her business so quickly. Get your free copy today at www.cashinonyourexpertise.com.
And welcome back. And so we're going to actually introduce our first guest of the show today, and that is the beautiful Christine Nguyen. Christine, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Michelle.
Awesome. Hi, how are you?
I am doing fantastic, running on adrenaline.
I know. I'm going to tell everybody all about your exciting weekend in just a second. I want everyone to know, though, that you are a wellness coach. And I loved your there was a little snippet on your website, which I'll give them the website. We'll give them the website address in a second. But it says, creates healthy behavior change by challenging a client to listen to their inner wisdom, identifying their values, and transform their goals into action. So I thought that was the best written one-liner, because that just says it all right there.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you so much for having me on the show.
Oh, you're very welcome. So let's start by sharing with everyone why you're on this adrenaline high that you're on. You just participated in a book launch this weekend.
Yes.
So tell everyone about the book.
Yes, so on Friday, I've been working on a compilation book with Tony Gambone, and it was an amazing opportunity. But on Friday was our official launch, and we hit international bestseller. And so that
how
is,
great is that?
Such an amazing just opportunity, something, an experience to be a part of.
Yeah, and so the book title is Share Your Message with the World, right? Am I getting that right?
Yeah.
Share Your Message with the World, absolutely. And so you wrote a chapter in that book. Tell us real quick, give us the highlights on what your chapter was about.
Okay, well, the title of my chapter is The Master Key to True Happiness is Stress.
Oh.
And it actually has two meanings to it, but the whole idea is just basically behind, you know, moments in our life when we're struggling, we're going through challenges and all these things, that in that moment, if we know what to do with it instead of following it and doing temporary little fixes, we can actually go in there and get to the core of it and change the whole outcome of the stress.
Awesome. Awesome. I was looking at your website, and let's go ahead and give them your website address, everyone your website address right now. It is www.kristine, K-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, and I'm going to spell your last name for them because it sounds like Wynn, but it spells out as H-U-Y-N-H, wellnesscoach.com. So it's K-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, H-U-Y-N-H, wellnesscoach.com. And so I was actually on your website earlier, and I noticed that you were having that conversation about stress, right? But it's an acronym, correct? Because
yes.
I see all the little dots. So fantastic. So let's have a conversation. I thought that would be brilliant for the entrepreneurs who are listening to really maybe have the conversation around what the stress, as you know, the acronym for stress is. In your business, and what that means for them.
Okay. Well, stress actually stands for see the root cause of every stressful situation.
Wow.
So what that means is majority of the time, you know, when we're going to, in life, daily life, there's always things that are happening. So we go through fear and worry and sadness or irritation, just many things that don't go the way we want, and things happen, life happens. So in the middle of that, what most people do is, you know, what I call temporary fixes. So they're temporary, like, you know, maybe go drink or go shopping or keep busy so they don't have to deal with those feelings. But in reality, if you take that acronym and you actually see the root cause of it, because there's a reason why that happens. And it will keep repeating in our lives that way until we figure out what that message is, what lesson we are truly meant to learn from that. And through that, we start to discover more about ourselves. And I do that through a tool, which I call the universal tool, is through meditation.
Cool. I'm taking notes over here, because that was my next question for you, because I wanted to know how you do that. How do you take people to that spot, right? But
right.
So is that an individualized meditation for them, or is that something that is generalized that people are doing on a daily basis? Talk to me about what that looks
good
like.
Good question.
For them.
Okay. Well, I have individual clients that we do one-to-ones with, but I also do group coaching as well. And the whole idea is, The majority of the people that come to me are facing a lot of stress in their life. And it's a great, I mean, it's like the key. I call it the master key, because usually most of us wait until something dramatic or big happens. But the little signs of stress that start showing up, it is a key to let you know that that's not normal. Truly, stress is not normal. The thing that is normal is the true happiness that we have. It's just, it's covered daily by the stress. So I'm going to take here's an example. The sun, right? It's always shining. It's always there. But sometimes we can't see it because of the clouds in the sky. And the days that the clouds are heavy, I mean, that's when you're lost and confused and nothing. I mean, you can't even see the light at the end of the tunnel. So the clouds represent our stress. And so what I'm saying is that in us, we have true happiness, we have clarity, we have wisdom, we have everything that is there. It's just we cannot see it because of our perceptions that get in the way. So meditation is a process that will allow the individual to start to see all the answers, like where is that stress coming from? Because there's a whole system that happens inside of us from the feeling to the thoughts to the reaction, there's a whole thing that happens. But because it's so, when things happen, it's so quick, we can't see it. So meditation is a way to start to observe and study ourselves, and in the end, find out who we are and what ego really is.
Okay, great. So you said that that little things start to show up before the, so we should be paying attention, obviously, to those
yes.
little things. And so tell us, talk to us about what that would be that we should be paying attention to.
Our feelings every day. There's a lot, if you pay attention from the moment you wake up until, you know, night falls, how many feelings are happening throughout the day, but we don't catch that. The thing
right.
that we catch is the outer thing that's happening, like the situation or something like that, but we never really take a chance to kind of go in and break apart. Well, where is this feeling coming from? What does it feel like to be angry? What does that look like? Because there are different levels of meditation, and the first phase is to, you know, find that quiet spot so you can start to observe these feelings, and you'll start to see a pattern that happens. So through the feelings, that's the entryway, I call the master key in. Through the feelings, you can start to see where they arise from.
Okay, great.
And all different things in the past, they start kind of opening up. You'll start to see all kinds of things, but it happens internally. So I was very lucky to have met my Zen teachers that have taught and guided me through this process, and I'm so blessed that the opportunity came upon me when Tony had this awesome book idea and his message, you know, the title, Share Your Message to the World. I mean, I was
yeah.
just, when I heard that, I said, oh my gosh, this is what I need to share to the world, that they need to start uncovering the true happiness they already have inside of them.
Yeah, so this is, and I see it on your website too, I've seen that, was that it's Zen meditation. So
yes.
So I don't know a lot about meditation. I'll just be real honest with that. And so obviously there are different approaches to meditation.
Yes, it's kind of like yoga where there's different styles.
Okay.
And Zen meditation is very direct. It is Zen basically means to wake up, to see the truth. You know,
okay.
So it's kind of like when you're looking through a glass, but if, you know, if the glass is see-through and pure, you can see clearly exactly what it is. But
mm-hmm.
most of the time we're looking through the glass through our own prescription, which means through our own perceptions. So
right.
we see things a little bent and not through the truth.
Yeah. So your recommendation for everyone is to start taking that time to find that quiet spot, like you said,
yes.
and begin to observe, is it where those feelings are coming from, or is it just to observe the feelings? Is there a difference
in
there?
The beginning, in the beginning is to observe the feeling first, because here's one thing that I'd like to clear about meditation, is that we're learning to observe things, especially within ourselves. I feel like we have so much knowledge about everything outside of ourselves, but we really don't take the time to learn who and how did we become the person that we are. And so when you start to observe the feeling first, in the beginning when you're sitting, it allows you to observe the different things that are happening, and then eventually you'll find out what the cause. So getting to the root cause of it is what's going to change the whole dynamics of the whole system of stress that happens in your system.
Okay.
And so it's definitely different levels. So in the beginning, as you're observing that quietly, what will happen later is as you get more advanced, you don't have to just sit. I mean, as you're working and interacting and talking and eating and driving, I mean, all of that is a place for meditation. It's living meditation.
Oh, okay. Very good. Cool. Okay, great. So so I would, if it is possible that there is, so it's not like mantra, that kind of thing, right? It's staying focused on what's happening for you.
Within you, yes.
Or do you give people that? Because when I think of meditation, I think that there's words to be said, right? So. And that's probably just a misinterpretation on my part of what's
mm-hmm.
happening in meditation.
That's a style. That's another style of meditation.
Okay.
But it depends.
Okay.
It really depends on what your intention is. Because if your
yeah.
intention is to, for example,
to live truly happy, then in order to get there, you have to find out, well, why are we not happy? Why are we stressed out all the time? So as we work through that, the answers will start to come up. I mean, I can give you an example for example, I have this one client who we've been working over the telephone because she lives long distance, and mm-hmm. we talk once a week for an hour, and I guide her. She tells me kind of what goes on with her life and what she's stressed about, and then I kind of guide her with the meditation, and she practices at home. And what happened was, oh my gosh, this African, she just told me how it literally saved her marriage. And I was so surprised, because she told me, she said she's a person that's really angry. And when she found out what she found out, her life turned upside down. And in that moment, because she knew she was angry and she knew how to catch those feelings, she did not hop in the car and drive off, and she knew she would have hit something.
Yeah.
And so what happened was she ended up, you know, being with a feeling, and it gave her space to see what to do, how to make the right decisions and good decisions. And in turn, now their communication, their trust, everything is 10 times better in their marriage. So no divorce.
Excellent. That's a great story, by the way, right? I mean, it is truly us starting to understand who we are that makes mm-hmm. those changes. So that's very cool. Awesome. So I'm assuming you probably end up working with a lot of entrepreneurs because we are, you know, stressed out by nature, right? And so where, and this is more of a question about how your business works. Do you go out speaking? How do you meet the entrepreneurs that you work with?
Yes, I do, actually. A lot of it first is word of mouth. Because once they start practicing and they see the results, immediately, you know, they'll tell their family members and they'll tell their coworkers. So it starts from there. And then through that, I do go to events and I do speak. And then I've been asked to go out to different wellness centers and different places to speak.
Right.
And that's kind of where it keeps domino effect. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. So that made me think of something, and I just forgot it. Okay, I know what it was. What I normally do in the beginning is I ask people to tell us how they got to this point in their life. So, you know, what brought you to the Zen meditation and being a wellness coach?
Okay. Well, in the book, Share Your Message to the World, in my chapter, there is my personal story of how I came across this. And it basically started that from the age of, you know, 18 to about 23 for me. That was the hardest time in my life. And it goes into a lot more detail. But basically, at that point, I was lucky enough to have found a coworker who introduced me to meditation and to the Zen teachers. And so since 2003, I've been practicing meditation. And early on along the way, because of the benefits and the lives that I was affecting just by me doing meditation on my own, it just automatically affected my family in a positive way. And from there, I realized that, oh my gosh, there are so many people out there who are struggling behind closed doors, because every day we walk around with a mask. You know, a lot of us do. And, you know, we have to do what we need to do in our life, but then at the end of the day when we come home, are we really happy yet? And so through that, I decided, I said, oh, my gosh, there are so many misunderstandings about meditation. And if people knew how powerful this tool was and how they could use it in their daily lives and how much it would help not only their health, but it would help the people around them, then, I mean, that right there is enough to make me happy. And so I decided, well, how can I do this? And I decided to get into wellness coaching. So in 2011, I got my wellness certification. And from there, the funny thing was, I knew in the beginning it was hard to kind of start off with meditation, so I had to use something else. So I used weight loss and nutrition. And, you know, during the time I was kind of, you know, chasing all these shiny objects, trying to figure out, like, okay, well, how to do this. And in the end, I realized that after working with my clients through weight loss and nutrition, I found out that their main thing that they would, you know, talk about is they either don't eat enough or they eat too much because of stress. So mm-hmm. through that, I decided, you know what, I'm just going to go straight to the core and talk about stress and meditation. Though some, you know, that might be hard for some, you know, people to make a priority for, but I realized I just have to go directly.
Yeah, Cool. Very cool. All right. Awesome. So let's make sure that everybody can be connected to you. And you know what we didn't do, and Tony's going to kill us if we don't do it, is tell them how to get the book. So let's go, because guys, I read several chapters. I was honored to have several of my clients in that book. And so they sent me their chapters before the book came out. And if, you know, they were page turners, and hearing your story, I know it's a page turner as well. So I got my little text message from Amazon yesterday saying that the book is on its way. So I want to make sure that everyone gets their hands on a copy of the book. So you guys, you can go to www.shareyourmessagewiththeworld.com. And just congratulations again. You guys are all international bestsellers. That is huge, something that you
Thank
need
you.
To make sure you use in your marketing every single way you possibly can. Okay, that's my advice for you. And as someone who teaches marketing, you know, that's huge. All right? And then the other piece is I really want everybody to be connected with you. So how would you like for them to be connected? Let's give them the website again, and if you have a Facebook page or anything you want to share with them, do that
okay.
now.
Okay, I will just share my my website, because on there are the links to Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and all that.
Perfect.
So my website is KristineWynnWellnessCoach.com. It's KristineWynnHUYNHWellnessCoach.com.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show today. This is great. You actually taught me a lot. I just want you to know about meditation. So it's been really great having you here.
Thank you so much for this opportunity as well, Michelle.
Very good. And I'll be seeing you around Houston. So,
definitely.
All right, guys. Yeah, definitely. When we come back from our break, we will have our second guest. So you guys go check out our website right now.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Join Judy Hoberman on her radio show, Selling in a Skirt, Mondays at noon Central, for exciting discussions about challenges for women in today's society. The talk is about women in business, work and life balance, leadership, and current events related to gender communication. Be prepared to be inspired, motivated, and challenged. Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on the Tough Talk Radio Network is your connection to women nationally, internationally, and globally. So get comfy and see what the buzz is all about. Listen live on Mondays at noon by going to sellinginaskirtwithjudyhoberman.com.
Imagine taking your business to the masses using proven marketing techniques. What if you could take what you love and turn it into a six-figure business in the next 2 years? Or a $500,000 business in the next 3 to 4 years? Michelle Sism went from struggling to build her coaching practice to doing $500,000 in her business in less than 4 years when she uncovered the secrets to converting audiences to clients. In Cash In on Your Expertise, Michelle shares the exact strategy she used to build her business so quickly. Get your free copy today at www.cashinonyourexpertise.com.
And we're back. So I'm really excited to get to talk to our second guest. His name is Jason Kanigan. Jason, are you there?
I am, Michelle.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I am doing fantastic. Did I pronounce your last name right?
Yep, yep. There's no
okay.
special stresses or anything like that. Yeah.
I check because, you know, I have one of those names. And so just one of those things we have to check on. And so you guys are going to love this conversation because you know that I am all about sales, and I love to speak to people who know about sales and teach about sales. And And one of the lines that I saw, Jason, I think it was in your bio, maybe it's on your site, it says, Jason's on a mission to transform 100,000 people from slimy tricksters who will say anything, like Herb from WKRP in Cincinnati, to get an order into trusted advisors who are well rewarded for their expertise. And I just love that. We're so not about the slimy tricksters, right? It doesn't have to be that way. So
right.
I'm so excited that you were going to be on the show.
Thank you. Yeah, that is the public perception of sales and sales trainers that, you know, we're all about tricking the public out of their money.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, unfortunately, is a perception that because of bad salespeople and bad sales training over the years, that it's created a real culture of mistrust.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And listen, Jason, I'm having a little hard time hearing you. Are you on a speaker by chance?
No, just on
okay.
My regular headset. Interesting.
Okay, interesting. It's got a little echo, but we're good. As long as I can understand you, then I know that the audience can too, and I just want to make sure that they can. So very good. We're going to have a conversation around sales today and how to not be those tricksters. And, you know, I would love first to have you tell us what brought you to this point, you know, how you got to being a sales trainer, what your background looks like, and then I would like to move into that. You know, I everybody knows what that perception is, but we need to debunk that perception, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I want to head with the conversation.
All right. Yeah, definitely. I want to give your listening audience some tips on how to change that perception, and really, it comes from the inside, you know, of your own purpose. In selling, are you trying to bamboozle people out of their money, or are you legitimately trying to help them fix a problem that they have? And that's really what got me into sales training, is I wanted to take the scary out of selling. A lot of people feel very uncomfortable with selling, and I never liked the Tom Hopkins features and benefits, throwing a ton of those at a prospect and seeing what sticks, overcoming objections, rebuttals, all that struggling, right? That never made sense to me. But it took me about 10 years in my professional career before I started looking around for a different way of selling. I didn't even think that there was another way. You know, and I found consultative selling, and that approach really took off for me. You know, it was ethical, it was fair, it insisted on having open, genuine conversations between you and the prospect. And if one of you wasn't going to do that, then you weren't going to play. So it just was a great approach, and I started training. I moved from Canada to the U.S. in 2009. My first job here in the U.S. was as a sales trainer, and it's just gone on from there.
Very cool. Very cool. So this is going to be even more interesting because what you just said, it really intrigued me about the fact that you know, it's still pretty I'm trying to think of what word you just used, but the whole idea of having to overcome objections and having to do the benefits and mm-hmm. that's normally the way sales are taught. So now I'm so intrigued to see what it is what you're seeing differently. So just share with us what that looks like for you.
Okay. How sales can be, as opposed to that old school 1970s style of selling, which sort of fit the Herb Tarlack model,
mm-hmm.
you mentioned earlier from WKRP. I train my students to do is to screen or filter very heavily up front. Instead of rushing out and throwing a demonstration or a presentation in front of a prospect who's totally unqualified to see it, we make sure first that they are qualified to see it, and I teach them to screen for three things. The prospect must have a need or a want for what you have to offer. If they don't, why would you try and sell them anything? They have to have the budget to support your offer. They have to have a problem big enough to justify your getting involved with the solution and the investment in that solution. That's part of budget. Self-esteem is also in there as well. You need to get something in return that you feel good about for doing the work or providing the product or the service. And then finally, personality fit. If this prospect is going to be a difficult client, then you don't want to let them in the door. You're just going to cause a lot of trouble for your business.
Right, right. So tell me, I'm still having just a little hard time hearing you, so I just missed the first part. You just said that. So I got problem, you know, their problem has to be big enough. They have to be budgeted. They've got to have a budget for it. And you do want to look at the personalities. But what was the first thing you said?
Right. The first thing was need or want. They have to
or
want what you have to offer.
Yeah. Okay, great. Very good. So your approach really is about the filter from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you work with your clients on, is understanding how to do the filter process?
Well, right. First of all, Michelle, most people don't even have a consistent sales process. And I don't say that to be mean. I didn't have one for the first 10 years of my career either.
Right.
I just wandered out there, and I did things a little different every time. And that's what eventually got me mad. Mad enough to look for another solution was I didn't know why I got some orders and I didn't get others. There was nothing consistent about what I was doing. And now what I teach people to do is not to waste time with prospects who are not going to buy or who are just looking for a free education. And once you've educated them up, they pat you on the back and tell you what a great human being you are and then disappear because now they don't need you anymore and they go look for what you offer at the lowest price. Yeah, we focus on filtering very heavily at the start. Prospecting and qualifying isn't really selling. That's the step before selling. Selling can come afterwards. But we're going to screen first, and we're going to do that with as little emotion as possible because we can't control whether this prospect has the need, the budget, or the personality fit. All we can do is filter. When we find somebody who's a good fit on all three of those things, then we can get a little excited, and then we can start selling.
That's a huge, huge piece I need to make sure everybody is paying attention to. And so the prospecting or the screening is to be done with as little emotion as possible. And so I really need everybody in the audience to hear that, right? It's either they fit or they don't fit. And a lot of times what I see, and I see it in the way I started this business, right? And I see it for my clients, is that we've got this desire to help. And, they might not, they might not quite meet the personality. We let them into the program anyway, and that becomes becomes a problem, right? And then we got to deal with it after the fact. So, that's huge. That's really big. Okay, cool. Love that. And I love that you said that selling comes later, right? Getting through that process first. So, excellent. Yeah. I don't know if you were with us at the very beginning of the show, but I was talking in the beginning about events and about going to events and how to know which events to go to. And so if you were to apply this, let's just say for you and your business, right? And you were determining whether that event would be something you should be there for. Do you just go through these four pieces? How do you narrow that down for you?
If I was going to some kind of networking or trade event,
I would
choose whether to go or not based on the kind of people that I was going to meet. Mm-hmm. Sometimes in business, it's not all about return on investment. Sometimes it's about strategy. So we get one association going so that there's name association between me and that other group. That enables me to get on the attention board of Company B, and that allows me to get Project C, let's say.
Right.
Right. So that could be a possible reason. It's not always about going and making a connection and making money, next week or next month from it.
Excellent.
But generally, how I would qualify is I would use that same system. I would look at who's going and say, okay, is this industry event and made up of people who would likely have a need for what I have to offer. If it's the National Association of Ice Cream Truck Drivers, I probably don't want to go. Like they're going to be selling stuff for $6 a piece or $2 a piece out of the freezer in the back of their van, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
Not a good fit for me. That they're not going to need or have the budget for what I have to offer. If it's heavy power generation equipment, trade association meeting. Now that I might want to go to. We're talking, $200,000 and up for a product sale, right? And a longer sales cycle. I can help them. I can help them by giving them the filtering tools and the stuff that I wish I had known when I started out of how to filter. because those guys are blindly sending out quotation after quotation after quotation, doing all this work and bid documents and that on projects that they don't even know. They never have a chance of getting those jobs, never. And I can help them lower the amount of churning work. They're just churning paperwork up. I can help them reduce that. So, that's a good way of filtering right there is for need and budget. Personality fit, well, that's on an individual basis, right?
Correct.
So I'm going to tilt the odds in my favor by choosing an event to go to where there's likely to be people who have a need and a budget for what I have to offer. And then individually I can, you know, pick off the ones that have the good personality fit.
Right. Okay, fantastic. So you filter them through. They make it through the filter. Let's just move through to the sales, what begins the, obviously, the relationship build, right, mm-hmm. into the point of sale. And so anything in that area that you want to share specifically, maybe some things you see people doing wrong or something you would have them change?
Well, as the salesperson, you're responsible, whether you acknowledge it or not, for the entire process, all the way through fulfillment. So that, you know, until that customer has gotten everything that they were supposed to get in the order, you're still responsible for it. I see a lot of people who feel that as soon as the money changes hands, they can drop the ball and run off to the next thing. Well, if you're truly interested in helping your clients and your customers and getting great referrals from them and getting awesome results for them, you're not going to want to run away just because the money changed hands, right? And I'm not saying that you should quit doing any more prospecting. I'm saying you do need to follow everything down the rest of the chain and make sure that things turn out the way they're supposed to.
Right. Very good. That's great advice. You know, I'm sitting here thinking about my husband, who is a big truck salesman. He sells 18-wheelers, sells internationals. And the one thing I've noticed about him as a salesman is that he's very much does that, right? He's with them from the moment of introducing them to the idea of the truck, through the sale, through the fact that he's got, you know, every day we talk about the trucks that are coming down the line that are getting ready to be delivered to his newest clients, and right, I mean, he's in the process all the way through, so it's very interesting that you pointed that out. That's good. That makes for a great salesman, because after that, people keep coming back to him, right? That's proof that that's what you're saying works. Very good.
Well, remember, we're filtering too, Michelle, so we're getting clients who need what we want, can afford what we want, and are pleasing to work with and value what we have to offer. And the fact is, birds of a feather flock together. They're going to know other people just like that, and they will tell them about you.
Yeah. Exactly. Awesome. So we have about 3 or 4 or 5 minutes left, and a couple things I want to be sure we do. I want to be sure that, number one, we tell everybody how to get in touch with you. So I don't even think we told them your website address yet. So share your website and then how they can reach you if there's other ways you want them to reach you.
Okay. So if you want to talk to me about corporate services, jasonkanigan.com, all one word, my full name, that's the website to go to. However, if you want to learn more about this approach to selling, and I do other interviews just like the one we're doing right now with other experts in the industry, other sales trainers and business development experts, and I post them. And I write idea blog entries and that on this site, salestactics.org.
Great. So that's
salestactics.org. And I've never seen a website like this one, actually. It's not just a dumb blog, you know. There's a lot of knowledge there. In fact, there's posts where I put stuff together that is worth $1,000 or more. If you were to get those people in a room and be charged the billable hours that they would charge in order to give you this information, you're getting a product that's worth $1,000 or more. And it's free on that site.
That's what I love about having people like, you know, you. I have so many great guests that come on that are sharing just the most valuable information. People need to be paying attention. It's, you know, obviously there's more. There's always more. There's no way you can teach people everything in those few, you know, those blog posts that you're writing. But it is sure is a great way to get started with you and looking at that. So I want to make sure that they understood that that was www.salestactics.org. And I've checked it out. I love that your fan page, and I guess is your business called Sales on Fire? Is that just the name of your fan page?
Yeah, the name of my business, Sales on Fire.
I love it.
Created, registered in the wonderful state of North Carolina.
Awesome. Very good. Well, so let's give them one big giant tip, the one thing that they absolutely have to know to lead the call, and then we'll move on.
Okay. Got to think what would best serve.
Yeah.
So
what's the biggest
one? We have a lot of people who start talking to me because they just opened a business and they want to become a good salesperson. Don't rush into selling. Okay. Qualify first. We've discussed that now. How do you start a call? There are people who have been in sales roles for 20 years who I've worked with who don't know how to do two things: reach the decision maker and then start a call effectively. Okay? Like, that's crazy. You would think that would be things salespeople would know how to do, but no, they've been living off soft referrals and doing the same job for the last 18 years out of the 20 years that they've been doing it over and over again. So the first thing they can do is begin with something I call the little unsure technique when they're talking to gatekeepers. I mean, new people to selling are terrified of gatekeepers, right? So we'll give them this method. It's called the little unsure technique because you are a little unsure. You aren't overreacting. You say something like, "Hi, I'm not sure who I should speak with. Maybe you can help me." I usually talk to the person who's in charge of whatever field it is that you're trying to call up, like marketing or something like that, for the business. But again, I'm not sure who that would be. And psychologically, this works because you're a little less well-off emotionally than the gatekeeper, and they will move to rescue you. So this is very, very effective. They will send your call through often enough, so fast they don't even have time to tell you who they're sending you to. It's a very, very effective way to get to the right person.
That's very good.
When the other person picks up and you have a conversation with them, ask if it's a bad time to talk before you do anything. This is John speaking. "Hi, John, is this a bad time to talk?" It sounds a little weird, and that's good. It gets them out of the regular sales pattern, how we say it, all that stuff, right? We want them on the call, if possible, not reading emails or something like that. We want them on the conversation with us. "So, hi, John, is this a bad time to talk?" And they will let you know. If it is a bad time, they'll tell you. "Yeah, it is, actually."
Yeah.
"Okay, I'll call you back." And you can hang up. No problem. It's not rejection. They don't know who you are and why you call. They could say, "That's always a bad time. What do you got?" Or they could say, "No, it's a good time. Who's this?" And that person is really stretching. They're getting onto the call. That's good. We want that. And then you can have a conversation with them. But they really, really appreciate that. I've talked with many, many business owners, in particular general managers of car dealerships. They really appreciate that. Because they could be in the middle of a conversation with a customer.
Yep, exactly. Very good. All right. Thank you so much, Jason. This has been just chock full of really great information. I appreciate it. I know that everyone who's listening has just gotten so much value out of this if they just need to connect with you. So, guys, be sure you visit him at his website and connect with him online and, you know, just go get some more of this wonderful information. So thank you again, Jason, for being here.
Thank you, Michelle.
All right. Sounds good. So you guys hold on, and when we come back, we'll do our little wrap-up for the show.
We understand your need for quality financial advice without the hefty price tag of the big institutions. That's why at Thompson Wealth Management, it's our aim to create lifelong customer relationships built on a foundation of trust and satisfaction. Our values are based on extensive experience in investment, investment planning, and an intimate knowledge of financial markets. So let us put our experience to work for you. We can help you build a comprehensive investment plan and provide you with the ongoing guidance and direction that you deserve. For more information, visit Thompson Wealth Management at www.twmtoday.com.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tuff Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tuff Talk Radio Network can help you, go to TuffTalkRadioNetwork.com.
Imagine
taking your business to the masses using proven marketing techniques? What if you could take what you love and turn it into a six-figure business in the next 2 years? Or a $500,000 business in the next 3 to 4 years? Michelle Sism went from struggling to build her coaching practice to doing $500,000 in her business in less than 4 years when she uncovered the secrets to converting audiences to clients. In Cash In on Your Expertise, Michelle shares the exact strategy she used to build her business so quickly. Get your free copy today at www.cashinonyourexpertise.com.
Another fantastic show. Listen, we started out the day today of the show talking about whether you should be doing events, attending events, and using events in a marketing strategy. And here we kind of ended out the show talking about them as well. So this is a well-rounded show, right? So we had with us Christine Nguyen, and Christine is a wellness coach. And she's really was talking to us about the way to really get to the point where we understand what's happening with our feelings and how we can maybe shortcut some of those stressful situations that are coming about because we're not paying attention. And I thought that was really important. I want to make sure that you guys are connected to Christine at, let's see where I put her website address. It is, it's Christine Nguyen, wellness coach. So let's see, I want to make sure I spell it right for you. Hold on, guys, my whole little computer thing just went crazy here on me. And so there it is. It's KristineNhuynh, wellnesscoach.com. And Kristen's approach is the approach with Zen meditation, where you are really getting in touch with, observing what is happening, what is bringing you those upsets throughout the day, right? What she said is that so many of us wait, we see the exterior thing that's happening, that something outside of us, but we're not thinking about what that is what's coming from inside of us, right? So extremely important, because as entrepreneurs, we can live a very stressful life. So if you could avoid some of that, why not? Why wouldn't you want to do that? And then we spoke with Jason Kanigan, and Jason's been telling us about sales and sales conversations, and I hope you caught that so many great things out of Jason's piece that he was talking about. One very, very important piece was the whole filtering idea of being, just filtering very heavily up front. So, we're pre-qualifying extremely, hardcore pre-qualifying is what he was saying, right? Screening and pre-qualifying those who we approach to work with. And so I can tell you that I know from working with so many entrepreneurs that a lot of times that makes people just so stressed out because they don't want to disqualify anyone. And, if you're having low sales conversions, it's because you're not disqualifying anyone. You're talking to anyone and everyone. And that's not the way for you to be running a business that is growing, a business that you're moving towards leverage, which you're going to hear me talking a lot about in the future. So very important. He gave us that information, and then he said to remember that you're going to prospect or screen with as little emotion as possible. Extremely important, as little emotion as possible. So thank you, Jason, and you guys can find out more about Jason on salestactics.org, or look up his fan page on Facebook. It's Sales on Fire. And be connected. Get his great information so you can learn more about sales and the sales cycle. Okay? I want to just do one quick reminder. Don't forget, I'm coming to Houston and Dallas. Join me for my one day, www.makemoremoneytour.com. This is Michelle Sism saying, remember, it's our responsibility to take the action in our business, not someone else's. So be decisive. Take those actions. What are you going to do today that you've been putting off doing, right? Get it done. All righty. Talk to you soon. I'll talk to you guys next Monday, 2 p.m. Central. Join me live. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Take Action and Get Profits with Michelle Sism, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.